There's a sugya in the Gemara Menachos which goes on for about two blot, which discusses the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'ema. And then the Gemara brings the pasuk in Parshas Emma, which is the source or the starting point of the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'ema. Pasuk which says, "Usfartim lachem imochlas haShabbos," that you should start counting for yourselves imochlas haShabbos from the Mochras, the day following Shabbos. Miyoyim haviyachem esayim atnufo, from the day on which the korban, which was called Eimar Atnufo, was brought. And Chazal, on the basis of a Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu, understood the phrase Mimochras HaShabbos, that the day after Shabbos doesn't mean literally the day after Shabbos, but Mimochras HaShabbos means the day after the first day of the Yom Tov of Pesach. And therefore we start Sfiras Ha'ema, we start counting the Ha'ema from the second night of Pesach, which is the first night of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, or the second Seder night in Chutz Laretz, based on the fact that Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, or Kabbalah MiMoshe MiSinai, that Mimochras HaShabbos in the context of this pasuk doesn't mean literally Mimochras HaShabbos, that Shabbos in this context is referring to the Yom Tov of Pesach. And in fact, we find on occasions that the Torah refers to a Yom Tov, and it calls the onta for Shabbos. This, in fact, was a huge debate between the Prushim, who were those who accepted Torah Shebaal Peh and understood Torah according to the way in which Chazal were mekabel what the meaning of Torah is, and the Beitusim, or the Stukim, who took things literally. And the Stukim were of the opinion that Mimochras HaShabbos is to be taken literally, and the Mimochras HaShabbos means the day after Shabbos. Therefore they started counting the Omer from the first day following Shabbos, which was at that period of time when the Omer could be brought. And that's when they brought the Korban Omer. First day after Shabbos. Because they understood Mimochras HaShabbos literally. Mimochras HaShabbos means Sunday. The first Sunday in the Pesach region. And the Gemara there in Menachos does something which is very unusual. There are many phrases, words, letters in the Torah which Chazal interpret in a certain way. Why did Chazal interpret them in that way? Because this was Kabbalah Mimesh Misina. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu received on Har Sinai, that this is the interpretation of the words in the Torah. We don't find that the Gemara tries to prove that the Kabbalah that we have traditionally from Moshe Rabbeinu of the Torah Baal Peh interpretation of the Pasuk is correct. It's correct because it was Nimsa Midor LeDor, that's pshat in the Pasuk. Here all of a sudden the Gemara starts bringing riots. If you look in the sugi in the Gemara there, Menachos and Daf Samach Hei Amud Aleph until Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, you'll see that the Gemara there is bringing riots. that the interpretation of Chazal is the right one. And the Mimachas HaShabbos Taka means from the second day of Yom Tov, the day following the first day of Yom Tov. What is perhaps even more strange is that if you look in the Rambam brings the halacha of Sfiris HaEmah, and if you look in the Rambam says, now I'll bring you a raya which the Gemara doesn't bring. And he brings a further raya, that Mimachas HaShabbos must be the way in which Chazal understood it, namely the second day of Pesach, and it can't mean Sunday. V'ayimah darsheni, in other words, there's something here. In other words, Chazal are trying to emphasize the fact that intrinsically or integrally, part of the mitzvah of Sfiris HaEmah, or something to do with Sfiris HaEmah, is interconnected with the fact that it must commence the day following the first day of Pesach, and it cannot commence the day following Shabbos. And yet, mitzad sheni, there's a time-old question. Why does the Ribbono Shel'olam have to drive us mad? Why, if the intent of the Torah is the day following the first day of Yom Tov, then why doesn't it say the day first following the first day of Yom Tov? Why use an expression which leads you to a misinterpretation that you end up with a huge machlekes? I want to suggest something which is not my own idea. It's a development of an idea that already exists in Sfarim. It's a little bit esoteric, maybe. It's a little bit Kabbalistic, maybe. But esoteric. But I think there's a very interesting and a very deep concept which is very relevant, as we'll soon see, in practical terms to us. I think that Chazal understood that it's impossible to translate the expression Mimachas HaShabbos the day after Shabbos. That Mimachas HaShabbos had to be the day after Yom Tov. Whether we would have had such a Kabbalah or we wouldn't have had such a Kabbalah, there's no other way of understanding it. Chazal used an expression in reference to Shabbos. And that the expression that they use in reference to Shabbos is that Shabbos is kviyo v'kaimo. Literal translation of kviyo v'kaimo is Shabbos is fixed, determined, and Shabbos is Kaima, it's a phenomenon. It's there whether you like it or not. What's the pshat? What's the Gemara trying to say? Shabbos is a phenomenon which exists without any involvement on the part of human beings. The Ribbono Shel'olam created the world. There was day one of creation, there was day two of creation, there was day three of creation, there was day four of creation, there was day five of creation, and there was day six of creation. At the termination of day six of creation, which because of the Sofik is determined by Shkiyas HaChama, by the sun setting, the minute that the sun set on the sixth day of creation, without anybody doing anything, without any involvement on the part of human beings in the world, they'd already been created because the other Marishim was already created. The minute that the sun set on the sixth day, Shabbos started. And the minute that the sun went down on the seventh day, and it was Seisa Kirchhoven, Shabbos finished. And from that point and onwards until this very day and until eternity, this will happen week in, week out. Every time in this cycle of 6 days, at the end of the sixth day, when the sun sets, Shabbos will start. And because Shabbos is something which was determined solely, completely, and only by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and there is absolutely no human element in the determination of when Shabbos is, therefore the bracha that we say on Shabbos is Baruch Ata Hashem, that you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, should be Mevorach, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Because it's the Ribbono Shel Olam who's Mekadesh HaShabbos. All that the human being can do is, either by desire or by order of the Rabbanon, to be Moisif on Shabbos. But Shabbos per se is something which the Ribbono Shel Olam created and which he is constantly creating every week. Therefore, Shabbos on a weekly basis basically represents two ideas. The first Pashta idea that Shabbos represents, and which we say in the davening of Shabbos, it represents the concept that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. He b'sheishis yomim osa Hashem es ha-shamayim v'es-haaretz uvayeim ha-shvi'i shavas v'enofash. So Shabbos represents emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam as being the Beirei ha-olam. But Shabbos also represents something else. Because Shabbos was solely created by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and there was no other involvement in the creation of Shabbos other than the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is the absolute, by definition, of perfection, in all schools of philosophy, deity must equal perfection. Right, Elikus must equal perfection. There can't be a chisaron in Elikus. It's not shayach. It's a contradiction in terms. It's a stira minei ubei. If it's Elikus, then it's shleimus. And if it's Elikus, and it's shleimus, shleimus is teiv. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he created a perfect world. The world is perfect. There's nothing lacking in the world. All that's lacking is that the human being has a job. He was given a perfect world, la'ovdo l'shomra, but he has to bring down the perfection. He has to be moshech the perfection. But the perfection exists there. Shleimus exists there because Ribbono Shel Olam created a perfect world. And that's what we say in davening, if we think for a moment, every single Shabbos. Mizmei shir l'yom ha-Shabbos. Why? Toiv. Because Shabbos is toiv. Shabbos is shleimus. Shabbos is the absolute in goodness. Therefore, besides being made to the Ribbono Shel Olam that you are the Borei Olam, toiv. Yet you also, l'hodis Hashem, you have to be made to the Ribbono Shel Olam about this perfect day and this perfect world that he created. And therefore, Shabbos is the only Yom Kodesh in the yearly cycle where a Korban Chatos is never brought, is never offered up. Why? Because a Korban Chatos is brought because a person did something wrong. And if a person did something wrong, it's lacking in perfection. And Shabbos has nothing at all to do with lacking in perfection, because Shabbos is perfection, Shabbos is Shleimus. Rashi says in Parshas Vayetze that the word Chatos comes from the concept of Lahachti, to miss, like when you shoot an arrow and you miss the target. You throw a ball, as most of you guys do, and miss the net. That's where the word chet comes from. And therefore, chatas has no connection at all with Shabbos. Yom Tov is a different concept altogether. Yom Tov is a Yom Kodesh. It represents the godless of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It symbolizes the Nisim that the Ribbono Shel Olam did for us. But it's not a day of Shleimus, Yom Tov. Shabbos is dependent upon what? The Shemesh, the sun. It's sometimes blocked by the clouds, that's true. But the sun is always the sun in its entirety. Yom Tov is dependent upon what? Upon the date in the month. How is the date in the month determined? By the moon. The moon, say Chazal, it diminishes and it expands. That's the way that it works. Why does it diminish and expand? Say Chazal, because the moon came with a Taina. Can't have me and the sun together, because in its Ein Shtei Melachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad, it's a problem. To the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said, okay, fine, so we'll diminish you. In other words, what was the moon doing? The moon was saying a Taina against the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The moon had a tzfiyah, a kitrug against perfection. There was a Rebbeinu Shel Olam, okay, you want it to be that way, so we'll imperfect you. You're not sholem, like the sun is. Therefore, Yom Tov, which is dependent upon the moon, represents imperfection. And even more than that, who determines when Yom Tov is? We determine when Yom Tov is. Beis Din determines when Yom Tov is. Why? Because it's Beis Din who determines when Rish Chodesh is. And Yom Tov is always dependent upon Rish Chodesh. Ad kedei kach, that the Gemara says, and this is halacha lemaisa, that even if we find out that Beis Din made a mistake and they determined Rish Chodesh on the wrong day, therefore, l'chura, objectively, it's coming out that Yom Tov is on the wrong date. No! Whatever Beis Din determines, that's the day of Yom Tov. Why? Because it's man who determines when Yom Tov is. Because Yom Tov represents imperfection. And that's why in Yom Tov the bracha is always Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Baruch atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Because it's not only the Ribbono Shel Olam that's creating Yom Tov. It's Beis Din that's also creating Yom Tov. And in fact, even more than that, even though all the Yomim Tovim represent Nisim, but at the same time, all the Yomim Tovim represent Chet. Whether it's Rosh Hashanah Chet, or the Marishin, Yom Kippur Chet, or Egel, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, which represent Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Yetzias Mitzrayim only came about because there was a Golus Mitzrayim. And Golus Mitzrayim only came about because Klal Yisrael were deserving of a Golus and a Shiva Mitzrayim. So again, we're back to Chet. Yom Tov always represents imperfection. There is a concept which exists in Sforim, more in the Kabbalistic Sforim, which says the following. There is no such thing as the day after perfection. But the whole concept of a day after is in order to be mesaken what you didn't do the day before, otherwise you don't need the day after. The only reason why I need a day later is if I missed something on the previous day that I can now do on the day later. But if the previous day was perfect, then there's no point in having a day later. Therefore, a day after, by definition, represents that the previous day was lacking in something. Mimachres HaShabbos, say Chazal, cannot mean the day after Shabbos. Because there is no day after Shabbos. In the English language, there is a day after Shabbos. It's called Sunday. In Hebrew, there is no day after Shabbos. There is a Yom Rishon, a first day of what? A first day towards the next Shabbos. Because there is no day after Shabbos. Because Shabbos is Shleimus, and Shleimus doesn't need perfection. Shleimus is already perfect. Therefore, along came Chazal, and Chazal said that Mimochres HaShabbos must mean the day after Yom Tov. Because Mochres means to be Mesaken something. Yom Tov implies imperfection, that there's something which is still needed to be Mesaken. Sfiris HaEimah is not just a rote act of a guy mumbling to himself after he finishes Shemayna Ezra, if he bothered to remember that there is a mitzvah of Sfiris HaEimah, which 99.9% of you guys don't. This is X day in the Eimah. That's not the point of the exercise. The point of the exercise is, as the Chinuch says, that it's a progression. It's a progression of improvement. You can go, you can be Chagig Chag HaPesach. You can be Yetzim Mitzrayim. That doesn't mean you're Roy to be Mekabel Torah. You have to create a Keli to be Mekabel Torah. The whole concept of Sfiris HaEimah is a progression of days on which a person is meant to be working on himself to turn himself into a Keli that's Roy to be Mekabel Torah. It's days where we're meant to be moving from the imperfection of Yetzias Mitzrayim to the perfection of Kabbalah Satira. Right? Whereas Rebbe used to say that the days of the Eimer are connected the Memches Dvorim Shatira Niknes Behem. In order to be Kaina Teira, the Mishnah says you need Memches Dvorim. There are requirements, and each day a person should be Ovid on those requirements. When a guy gets up and says that tonight was the 41st day of the Sfira, what he's basically saying to Ribbono Shel Olam is, I did my bit. I did my 41st chelek in my own tikkun towards Kabbalah Satera. Therefore, the whole concept of Sfira Sa'ima is to be misaken something which was missing, therefore, it has to be mimochrast a Yom Tov, and it cannot be Mimochras HaShabbos. In Bechukaisai Teleichu, Shetiu Amelim Batera. Rabbi Rublev spoke this evening, for those who were here, and he quoted a Rashi. The Rashi is a partial quotation from a Medrash, which appears in the Yalkut Shimoni. And the Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni, which is a scary Medrash, the Maisa, talks about, it's actually Medayek from the Psukim in this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Bechukosai, and it talks about the fact that the nature of man is that without doing something active to prevent it, he will, in terms of his ruchnias, deteriorate. That's a metzias. That the Medrash says that the starting point is, and it's v'dayke from the pasuk, the first stage in the deterioration of the Jew is einoi loymed. He doesn't learn. And from there, the next stage is Eino Mekayim. He doesn't do mitzvahs. And the next stage is Me'eis Ba'acherim Sha'eisim. He gets uptight when he sees other people doing the right thing. Who the heck does he think he is? He's no better than me. I know the truth. And the next stage is Eino Meiniach La'acherim La'aseis. Does everything in his power to make sure that the other guys know better than him, and the guy stops doing things that he's not doing. And the next stage is Seines HaChachomim. All comes from the rabbis anyway, they don't know what they're talking about, they're out of touch, they don't realize, they don't know who I am, they don't know where I'm coming from, they don't realize that my mother stopped nursing me too early, v'chole. And the Medrash goes further, and he goes down from stage to stage, and stage to stage, until it gets to a stage of Yedeya Es Ribbonoi. He knows there's Ribbono Shel Olam, Miskaven Limrid Bo. But he says, so what? Don't care about God. He's brokers with God. And further and further and further until it gets to a stage where Kaifa Be'ikir, he becomes an atheist. There is no God. Mr. Philosopher, there is no God. He knows. He's been around for 5,000 years. He knows. When you think about it, it's an amazing chazal. What chazal basically is saying is the following: that if there's a guy running around and he's a kaif of bakol, no one thing. It all started because ain alone. It all started because he had no chesh to learn. There's a Gemara in Yuma, famous Gemara. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. Every single person will die one day. There is not, as Rav Shalom Shadron used to say, a chevra von Stabes. There is not a corporation whose members die, but anybody else doesn't die. Every single person dies at a certain point. And when that happens, say Chazal, Boy in Ladin, there will be a day of judgment. And every Jew will be brought before Beis Din Shel Milo. But the way in which Chazal phrased this is very interesting. Oni v'osher v'rosha boy in Ladin. A poor person, an Oni. An Osher, a wealthy person. V'rosha. And in Russia, they will all die and appear in the day of judgment. What is the first question that they will be asked? Mitneimaloi osakta b'teira. Why weren't you Isaac b'teira? Be an interesting scene up there. There'll be a Beis Din Shel Milo, and there'll be people walking in one by one with a long Levi walk. And they'll say, yeah, what about you? Right? Why were you killing Japanese soldiers instead of learning? And everybody's going to have an answer. Because every guy sitting in this room has an answer. And they're going to start giving their answers. What did Chazal say? When a guy turns around and says, I was an Oni, they'll say you were a bigger Oni than a Hillel. Hillel managed it, therefore you can manage it. The guy says, because I was an Asher, they're telling you weren't a bigger Asher than Rabbi Eliezer ben Chalsam, and he managed it. And if a guy says, come on, what do you want, Rabbi? I have a Yetzirah. Yeah, it's true. Rabbi Lapian's been going berserk about blackberries, smackberries. Takes all the blackberries. 2 days later, the guy's got a new blackberry. You ask him, why are you doing with a new blackberry? Damn, you're mature, I'm this, I'm working on myself, I'm doing, I'm this, I'm that. Tell him, you had a Yetzirah? He didn't have a big Yetzirah than Yosef, and he managed and you didn't manage. So he's going to be Mekatreg on you. So first of all, we see two very interesting things here. First of all, we see here that the world is divided into three types of people. Because what about the guy who's not an Oni, and he's not an Asher, and he's not a Rasha? He's stammer, retarded, lazy so-and-so. Your classic Leivaria guy. What about him? Why don't Chazal say to the retarded, lazy, Leivaria guy, what's he going to tie now? What we're going to answer him? The difference is that definition doesn't exist. You're either an Oni, or you're an Asher, or you're a Rasha. And there's different types of Ashiras. There's different types of wealth. And there's different types of Anias. A retard is also an Oni. He's an Oni, but Das. And there are different types of rishis. Not every Rasha is a guy who commits genocide. There are other types of rishayim as well that exist. But that's what everybody falls into. You either fall under the category of an Ali, or you're an Asher, or you're a Rasha. And what is Chazal's definition of a Rasha? The guy who comes along with a tiny, what do you want from you? I have a Yetzirah. He's a Rasha because he still hasn't got rid of the Yetzirah. right? Be a tzaddik, he will never eat zahar anymore. According to certain shittas anyway. I'm going for that. But the Chorah, the Gemara is a pala. What's the raya from Yosef? That Yosef was in a mokum nisoyim. When was he in a mokum nisoyim? Eishes spoke to Pharaoh, right? And then what? All of a sudden, Rasa d'musti yuknai shalaviv. So why can't this guy turn around in the Beis Din Shalmaila and say to the Beis Din Shalmaila, you know what? If when I was killing Japanese soldiers, Reb Chaim Kanievsky would have happened to have walked into the computer room at that point in time, I would have also stopped and gone to the Beis Medrash. You know, what do you want from me? The Yosef was lucky. Rod Musti Yuknei Shalavi, I didn't have that mazel. So what do you want from me? Echor is a good kasha. Echor is a taina. What is this Ras of the Mustiyuk Nishal Ovid mean? So he saw his father there, so therefore what? You know, a lot of us have fathers, and it never played a role. It never stopped us from doing anything at all. So why here, yeah? We find a very interesting thing. We find by Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak calls Esav and he says to Esav, do me a favor, go and make me matamim, bring me the matamim, I'll give you a bracha. Rivka calls Yaakov and she says to Yaakov, listen to me, what I want you to do is I want you to go and I want you to bring the matamim for Yitzchak. And then you'll get the bracha and not Esav. To which Yaakov immediately responds and he says, Vayema Yaakov Rivka imay hein Esav achi ish so'il v'anechi ish chalak. It won't work. My father maybe can't see, but he can touch, he can feel. And he'll feel me, I feel different than what Esav does. He's a hairy guy. I'm not. And Uri Musheni Ovi Vizikane of Kamatateo, basically like Klolov, like Broch, and then he'll catch me and then I'll get there. I can't see. He's got it all worked out. No way. Nothing's going to happen to you. Shema Bekani Velech Kachli, go do what I say. Then what happens? Then what happens is Vayelech, he goes, Vayikach, Vayovir, he does what she says. And then what happens? Then the pasuk says, Vatikach Rivka, it's a big day. Esav ben Hagadol, she dresses him up in his garments, and then she takes the skins of the gdim that he shechted in order to bring food to his father, and she covers him with these skins of the gdim, and the skins of the gdim are full of hair, and therefore if he touches him. I was always puzzled here about something. She comes along to her son and Yaakov and she says to Yaakov, listen, I have an idea. And this is what I want you to do. What does he do? He responds with a very sensible argument back why he doesn't want to do it. Because he'll know straight away that it's not Esav. What should she have answered him back? She should have said to him, no, I have a great idea. We're going to dress you up. And are you worried about that? He'll feel you. I've got the solution to that problem as well. She doesn't tell him that. And in fact, not only she doesn't tell him that, he doesn't continue to argue with her after. It says, Vayelech, he went. It's only when, after that, after he's already gone and he's done what she said, and now he has to actually go into Yitzchak, then the Torah just tells us, Derech Sipur, that the way she got around the problem was by tugging him up in these clothing. But she never told him that. He never knew that she was going to do that. What happened here? She suggests something, he argues with her, she says, don't worry about it, and off he goes and does it. I heard B'Shem the Telzerov, Rabbi Strizar told me when I told this over to him, that he heard this once from Rabbi Avigdor Miller. Rabbi Avigdor Miller didn't quote the Telzerov, but I heard it B'Shem the Telzerov. And the Telzerov asked the following question. Chazal say, Godol ha'ayna yaseh min ha'mavarech. Greater is the person who answers Amen to a bracha than the person who made the bracha. Ask the Telzerov, and he says, that doesn't make sense. One guy made the bracha. The other guy only said Amen. So why is it the guy who said Amen is greater than the guy who made the bracha? So the Telzerov says, a gewaldige woord. The Telzerov says, there is a basic human psychology which exists within each and every one of us. When a guy tells you something, you argue. There is an inbuilt defense mechanism within each and every one of us not to accept anything that we're told. Since the Telzerov, if the guy says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam ha'metzi lechem min ha'aretz, and the other guy doesn't argue, he says, Amen, you're right, that's Shviras HaMidus. That's greater than even making the bracha. The fact that you were able to break your nature and not to say, I'll go away. Because that's human nature. The guy walks in the best of marriage, he's wearing a stupid piece of clothing. Right? He looks like a... I don't know what the word is. Mongoloid retard. That's what he looks like. And another guy comes around to him and says to him, the only reason why you're wearing that is because you want to be different from everybody else. No, it's because I like it. You like it? You retard you, you don't like it. Because if you liked wearing a skunk which was stinking on your head, you wouldn't walk around with it. Even if you liked it. And then the guy tells me, the guy says, and then he says, and, yeah, there may be an element of what you said as well. Valdik! That's a Telzerov. The minute you say to a guy something, automatically, boom. That's what happened here. Rivka said to Yaakov, I want you to go and to take the brachas. Go and bring the matamim. What does Yaakov say? Hey, if I go and bring the matamim, he's hairy, I'm not, he'll film me because he's blind. Can't do it, Rabbi. But then what happened? She said, don't you worry about it. Go and do what I'm saying. I've got more experience than you in life. Just do what I said. There's no more argument. That was the godless of Yaakov. Okay, you're right. You're right. That was an automatic reaction. That was a response that we all have. That's the way that we are. You say yes, I say no. You say it's day, I say it's night. Right. Well, am I, sir? Yeah, you're right. Let's go weiter. I'll do what you say. Yosef was in the Mokim Sakana. Yosef was in the Mokim Nisoyen. There's no doubt in my mind, and if I'm not mistaken, this appears in Chazal as well, that he had probably Kufnun ways, but 150 ways of justifying why he should do the Avera. Because we all have. And yes, it was no different. He had... The immediate response is, yeah, the Rebbeinu Shlomo says not to do it, but do you know where I'm coming from? Do you know where I'm holding? I have to take it slowly. I can't wait overnight. You can't change overnight. Give me time. Doing great. I'm only over on the Yisuf Arayas. Once a day or not, seven times a day. See where I got to, Rebbe? Could have tended that to himself. But he suddenly remembered there was somebody like him exactly, no different to him. Happened to have been his biological father, but that's not the point. The point is he had a role model in front of him. The Yitmashal Aviv, who was in the same situation. And yes, the immediate thought that crossed his mind and the immediate thing was to say, no. But then, he chapped himself straight away and he said, okay, you know what? to Rifkin, or whatever you say, I'll do. That was the Ros of the Mustafa of Mishalom. On that, say Chazal, the Bezdin Shalmaila have a Taina. On that, the Bezdin Shalmaila have a Taina. Why? There doesn't exist a person in the world who has not got a figure that he can look at and he can say, he was no different than me. But he did the right thing. Everybody knows somebody came from where he was coming from, went through what he was going through, and he's doing what he should be doing. Everybody's got a d'mus d'yuk neishal of it. The question is, do you want to be malah that d'mus d'yuk neishal of it or not? That's the taina that the Beis Din Shamayla has. The taina that the Beis Din Shamayla has is no. We've got no tainas on what you did. We appreciate the fact that you have a Yetzer Hara, says the Beis Din Shamayla. We know you have a Yetzer Hara. And we also know it's difficult to overcome the Yetzer Hara. But we also know that there's a way in which you can. And that is the Mustyug Neshul Aviv. Keep in mind that there were other people in exactly the same situation that you were, and you know them. And you're familiar with them. And look, they managed to do it. So you've got no excuse. So therefore, it's just the roots. The problem starts, as Chazal say, ain olaymed. Nobody is saying that it's easy. Nobody is saying that it's necessarily enjoyable in its initial stages, and sometimes even its later stages, and sometimes even its later stages. Nobody is saying that there exists in the world, without exception, including the greatest Masmidim that exist, amongst the Bnei Yisrael, people who have a 24-hour-a-day cheshek to learn. That's interesting. Everybody has this. It's just a question of, do I do what I want to do, or do I do what I know is the right thing to do? Obviously, the more one does something, the more one enjoys it. But at the end of the day, every single individual has his times of nisoyen. Everybody has his moments when the most difficult thing in the world is to pick himself up and go to the base of the Medrash, or open up a Gemara. Everybody is an Oni or an Asher. Right? Everybody has his tirdus. Everybody has his things that he's involved in. Because you're an Osher, you're involved in things. Because you're an Oni, you're involved in things. Your mind's and other things. It's difficult. It's Kriyas Yamsuf. It's true. Nobody's saying it's easy. But one always has to remember that there were other people in exactly the same situation. With the same tirdus, with the same Yetzer Hara, with the same thing. But they managed to be Ma'aleh Mr. Yukon Shlodi. They had their role models. And every time it came to Mokum Yisrael, they thought about the other guy, and if he can do it, I can do it. And the only way that one can do that is if one breaks this middah of self-justification. I've always argued. I've always known better. That's an inbuilt defense mechanism which has no relationship whatsoever to reality. It's a Maisadinian of the Yetzer Hara. And if we can get over those two hurdles, then we can be Mekabel Torah in the way in which we are meant to.